Hello and welcome to the Career Changers podcast. I'm Elisa Martinic and I'm the founder and editor-in-chief of the Career Changers. I'm definitely one of them. I learned from my experience that following our dreams requires courage, self-awareness and a lot of inner work. I love to discover stories of career change and share them with the world as a source of inspiration for all those who are still searching. Career changes are not a straightforward chronology written in our CVs, but the sum up of our dreams, ambitions, failures, and successes. The Career Changers is an online community that aims to inspire thousands of people during their journey to self-realization. We discover and share inspirational real-life stories of career change. We inspire people that are thinking to change career. We support people that want or need to change career, but feel stuck or lacking confidence and clarity. We connect and collaborate with organizations that support career change across different industries. I believe that thinking to have only one job or career in our life is a limiting belief, unless the job or that career make us happy. Life is a journey, and with one third of our lives spent working, it would be unimaginable to not have a desire to explore new avenues. Welcome to the Career Changers podcast. Hello and welcome to the Career Changers. Our guest today is Terry McDougall, executive and career coach and author of Winning the Game of Work, Career Happiness and Success on Your Own Terms. Terry works with high-achieving business owners and professionals who are successful but not satisfied because they are paying a high price for their success in terms of stress, burnout, health, and relationship problems. Prior to becoming a full-time coach and entrepreneur in 2017, Terry was a long-time marketing executive with a large national bank. Today, Terry is going to share her wisdom and career change story with us. Hi, Terry. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, Elisa. So good to be here.
So I'm really, really excited to explore your story and to understand the work you do. So as everyone that comes on the Career Changers, more or less, you have your own story of career change. So how and when did you start thinking about becoming a coach?
It's funny because I left my last job. I was at the last company where I worked for 12 years, and I led marketing for several businesses in the 12 years that I was there. I actually had four different jobs. And I say that I was very happy for about 10 out of the 12 years there. And the last job that I got was not one that I applied for. It was one that I was sort of voluntold to take. My boss was like, I want you in this role. I tried to tell her, no, I don't want that job. But she said, no, I really want you in that job. And so, you know, I gave it my best try. There were a lot of issues that made it difficult to do that job and to be successful in it. There were a lot of issues with where the business, how it was structured, how his marketing was structured. And so I just found that I wasn't very happy, you know, because I didn't feel like I was really set up for success. And so that really got me thinking about what did I want to do next? And I did an exercise with myself that actually I was taught at the beginning of my career by somebody who is special in my life. And I asked myself, what do you like to do and what are you good at? And I always enjoyed mentoring and coaching my staff. And in fact, you know, I would have people that didn't work for me come and ask if I would mentor them. And I've just always been sort of somebody that likes to help people achieve their goals. And I also, a couple times in my career, had hired executive or career coaches to help me because, you know, whenever I would hit an obstacle and I tried things and I couldn't figure out how to get beyond the obstacle, I realized that I could use some help. So I had some exposure to coaching personally. And And then, you know, I kind of got to this crossroads and I wasn't finding that I was getting the same satisfaction out of marketing. And I'd been doing it for 30 years. So, you know, maybe I sort of outgrew it in some ways. So I actually decided to leave my job. Honestly, at first I thought it was just going to be sort of a sabbatical because I was just feeling really burnt out in the role that I was in. But I thought, oh, I'll leave and I'll just get a little bit of rest and relaxation and sort of, you know, find another job. But while I was on my sabbatical, I decided to pursue a coaching certification. And even when I started, I still thought, oh, once I finish this, I'll still get another job and I'll just kind of have a few clients on the side. And maybe when I get closer to retirement, I'll do it full time. But just going through the program with, you know, the cohort that I was with, there were a lot of people that already had their own businesses or were planning on using the coach certification as sort of that pivot point in their own careers to start their own businesses. And I guess I would say that the entrepreneurial spirit was catching. and so I just realized that, you know, why not just give it a try? Because if I decided I didn't like it, or if I wasn't being successful, and then I could always go get another job at a later point. But you know, that was back in 2017, and here I am, almost 5 years later, and I'm making it work, and I'm able to really focus on things that I love to do. I love helping people. I love connecting with people. I love being creative and sharing my knowledge. So it's been a really good career change for me.
So often when we talk about career change or maybe people that read career change stories, it seems like, oh, they've made it, you know, that the courage, but it's generally, is never like a linear process. We need to do a lot of soul searching,
yes.
Inner obstacles, outer obstacles, financial obstacles.
Yes.
So what challenges did you have to overcome to transition your career?
Well, I had all of those challenges. I mean, I was in a financial situation where I could afford to not work for a while. You know, I had resources to draw on. So, you know, at least for a while, that was, I was okay financially, but that wasn't going to be, you know, forever. And even when, you know, before we, you know, went too deep into the savings, I did find that I felt kind of panicky at times, you know, and I felt a little frozen at times. And I really had to do a little soul searching to say, you know, what's going on here? And what I realized was that at the heart of it is I had this fear that, you know, I was going to fail and my family was going to end up on the street. And I really had to take a step back and examine the, you know, how valid that fear was, you know, how realistic was it? And because what I had been doing at first was not really examining the fear, just reacting to it. And when I stepped back and really looked at it, I realized that the likelihood of, you know, my family ending up on the street because I made this career change was zero, you know, because we had enough resources that would not happen. We had lots of options, you know, if the business didn't. Oh, sorry about them.
Well, it's okay. We have the dog. Oh, it's okay, don't worry.
Okay, I think that a dog walked by and she has to let him know who's boss. but anyway, when I really, you know, rationally looked at the situation, I realized that the thing that I feared, it's natural, but it wasn't realistic. And so that gave me the courage to lean into the things that I needed to do more and, you know, not be frozen by that sort of unexpressed fear that I had deep down inside. And, you know, once I started taking action, I started, you know, getting clients and becoming a better coach. And I've written a book and, you know, so, I mean, obviously we all have to if we want to make progress, we have to step outside our comfort zone. And it can be scary to do that, but that's the only place where progress is made, is to step outside that comfort zone.
So part of your work is helping professionals who are successful but not satisfied,
yeah,
because they are paying a high price for their success in terms of stress, mm-hmm. burnout, health, and relationship problems.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, thinking about success without satisfaction, it means imagine like, the, for example, I have a good position, maybe I climb the career ladder, mm-hmm. I'm earning good money, I have like a status, but I have this inner voice every day or now and then that is telling me, I don't know, or something is not right, or there must be something more than this.
Yeah.
So in your experience, how can success without satisfaction affect our lives?
Well, I mean, I guess I would first say that it's a little bit of a trick question, because to me, success is not success unless you can really enjoy it. But I think that for many high achieving professionals, that they've bought into this idea that if they, you know, work hard and go to the right university and, you know, really do everything that they can possibly do, that they're going to grab that brass ring of success, and that they've told themselves that once they get that quote unquote success, the professional success, that they're going to be happy. And what many of them find is that they get to that level, they, you know, they get the big raise, they get the promotion, they get the title, they get the new job, whatever, and they're still the same person that they were before. And if they weren't happy before, they're not going to really, maybe there's momentary happiness when they, you know, can buy a new car because they got a big raise or something like that. But if the work they're doing doesn't sort of resonate with who they truly are as a person, it's going to be fleeting. And what I really want to help people to do is to recognize that they deserve to be happy at work. And it doesn't always mean that they have to go out and get another job, but it may mean that they need to learn some skills to be able to do their job, sort of be more in the flow with doing their job and not exert as much energy on the job, which I truly believe that we can have sometimes more impact with less effort. And when we're able to do that, it actually leaves more energy to enjoy ourselves, right? To spend the time getting enough sleep or going out with friends or, you know, traveling or doing some activity that we enjoy, whether it's, you know, golfing or traveling or, you know, art or whatever it is, whatever somebody's hobby is. And when we do the things that we enjoy, it fills us up. It gives us more energy. But often people are so focused on their professional success that they do just keep working and working and working without a lot of attention paid to what they need as a human being. And then they hit that burnout stage and they know something needs to change. But then the fear enters into it that, you know, oh, well, you know, I've gotten to the point where I hate what I do, or it's just taking too much energy for me to do it, but yet I make too much money. So like they're a little bit, you know, painted into a corner sometimes.
So in your experience and through your work, how can we become successful and satisfied?
Yeah, it really starts with envisioning what you want out of your life and career. And, you know, sometimes people are happy with their job, like they like what they do, but they don't maybe like the amount of time or effort or some aspect of it they don't like. And you know, a lot of times when I start working with someone, the first session will be a lot about the things that make them unhappy. So, you know, it's a little bit of complaining and venting about the things they don't like, and that's fine. You know, it's important to get that out, to express it. But at some point we've got to sort of flip the table and say, okay, we talked about what you don't like or what you don't want. Let's flip it and say, start envisioning, what do you want this to look like? You know, what is it that you want? And it might be that I want to, you know, work less hours, or I want to spend more time on this aspect of the job and less on this because, you know, I get more energized by this aspect of the job. And once we get clear on the thing that the person wants, and then we can start, you know, looking at, okay, well, what's the gap between where you are right now and where you'd like to be? And we can start building that roadmap, identifying skills that they may need to make that future state happen. And then, you know, once we do that, and then they just start working on it. They start using that roadmap to move forward. And you know, it like you said, it's not a linear process. It's been very interesting for me to see all of the different outcomes that people I've worked with have had. You know, sometimes people come to me and they, you know, they think that they really love their job and they want to keep doing it. And then once they actually start, you know, learning some skills and implementing them and actually doing better in their job, it gives them enough space to look at their job more objectively and say, you know what? I actually don't like doing this anymore. I want to do something different. I mean, I've seen just all kinds of things, or people that say, I hate my job, I want a new job, and then they learn some new skills and they actually fall back in love with their job because they're not having to spend 60 hours a week doing it. You know, they've you know, dialed it back to 45, so they have enough time to do the other things in their lives that they enjoy doing.
So, do you think that are there any compromises that we need to make to be successful and satisfied at the same time?
Well, I think that the mindset needs to shift a little bit. And, you know, some of the skills that I'll work on with people are there's a tool that I actually learned from Stephen Covey's book, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. But this tool was developed by President Eisenhower here in the US. He was a general, you know, back in World War II, and then he became president in the 50s. And his tool is called the Eisenhower box, where on one axis you've got urgency, and on the other axis you have importance. And a lot of times people get so caught up in just doing the tasks that are urgent, and they don't look at it through the lens of, you know, okay, what are the important things that I need to be focusing on? And all of their energy will be used up by urgent things, and many of those urgent things are not important. And so sometimes, and I mean, for many of the people that are sort of overworked, you know, and feeling burnt out, this is one of the first tools that we look at that, you know, they start to use it as a lens to look at their to-do list and to start to triage things. So for example, if something is urgent and important, yes, of course, that's something that needs to be dealt with, you know, quickly and probably often immediately, right? And I'll just use an example is, you know, if you've got a child and the child falls off the swing set and breaks their arm, that's important and urgent. You have to take your child to the hospital right away, right? But there are also things that are important and not urgent. And an example of that would be taking your child to the dentist to get their teeth cleaned. Like if we never address those important but not urgent things, at some point it's going to become important and urgent. You know, when the kid has a rotten tooth and it needs to be pulled out because they never got help, dental care. And we can use that to extrapolate within the workplace too, because, you know, maybe we're so busy putting out fires all the time that we don't step back to say, we've got patterns of repeating crises that maybe if we put a system in place to deal with this, we wouldn't have to deal with so many fire drills. And I would say that's an important thing, but if you're so caught up with the urgent things, you never have the time and space to work on something that's important and in the longer term could be you know, have a lot of really positive impact.
So, we start our careers early in life, and then I think we may reach a certain point of what we call success. I guess sometimes from the stories I hear, we lose a little bit the sense of why we are doing what we are doing.
Yeah.
And it seems that, especially when you're getting older in some ways, it's more difficult to find new motivation if there is not a feeling of purpose. So also we often forget, and I see this also by talking with career changers, I see through the stories how their career change can have a positive impact in the world. Sometimes they are not able, or they don't want to recognize that because they see, no, what I do is not that important. We often forget that each of us, with our choices, can have a positive impact in the world.
Yeah.
So in your case, how do you feel your career change has made the world a better place?
Well, I feel like it's helping people to step more into their own personal authenticity and to be happier. And I think that when people are happier, when they're feeling more satisfied with their lives, it just has a positive ripple effect. You know, I can think of, you know, one client that I wrote about in my book, Winning the Game of Work, who, when we started working together, she was working 70 hours a week, and she was really at the end of her rope. She's a mom of two young girls, and she was telling me how she had so much work that on the weekends she couldn't go to her daughter's soccer games. Her husband had to take the girls to the soccer game, and she would stay home and work. And you know, just imagine the impact that that's having on those children, that their mom doesn't have enough time to spend with them. And so we did what I call identified the leverage points, so that she was having more positive impact with less effort on her part, which freed her to not have to work so much on the weekends, so she could spend more time with her family. And when you think about what that means to, you know, the life of a child, to have their mom there and be present. And, you know, I just imagine that, you know, for every person that I work with, if they can just be a little bit happier, that's going to make a difference, you know, to the people that are important to them in their lives too.
Yeah, definitely. When we are happier, then everyone is a domino effect.
Yes, yes. You know, and also not to mention, I mean, I know you were reading from my bio about, you know, people having relationship and health problems. You know, stress kills. You know, when people are under, you know, extended periods of stress, it does have a negative impact on relationships and on health. And so, you know, for people to be happier and have more energy that they can use to do things that are enriching to them, that also could, I mean, it literally could be extending their lives, you know, or it could be, you know, saving a couple from getting divorced. You know, it's just, I mean, not to be too grandiose, but I mean, a lot of times people do get divorced because of, you know, issues around work.
Yeah, definitely. So adult life sometimes pushes us to the limit, and it's difficult to find time also to reflect on ourselves. And that I think is a little bit the starting point of reconnect with our inner desires, what we want to do and what is fulfilling for us. Mm-hmm. And generally, well, I guess we are affected by what are the expectations of the outside world about us or our families. The responsibilities that we have. So fear, lack of clarity, and confusion can make us wonder if there is more to life than what we are living. What can make us understand if we are heading in the right direction?
You know, I think it's really about getting back in touch with our gut and our heart. A lot of times when I'm first starting to work with clients and I ask them the question about, you know, what is it that you want? A lot of times they're like, I don't know. And, you know, a lot of times they're saying it sort of like sadly, like, I don't know what would make me happy. I always believe that deep down inside, everybody knows what they want. But a lot of times they've sort of, I don't know, in some ways built a wall or are guarding themselves themselves against the things that they want because they don't want to be disappointed if they, you know, say, oh, I'd like to get a raise, or I want to be married, or whatever, that they almost don't want to say it out loud for fear that they won't get it and they'll be disappointed. One of the things that I discovered when I was writing my book was I came across some research that was done by this professor at Harvard Business School named Tom DeLong, who studies high achievers. And his hypothesis is that high achievers are addicted to external validation. And I was like, that blew my mind when I read that, because first of all, I could relate to it myself, where, you know, I was a good student and I would, you know, wonder, what does the teacher expect? What do I need to do to get an A? What do I need to do to get the extra credit? You know, what do I need to do to get into a good university? You know, all of those things that were really focused on what other people want from us. And what can happen is that when we're rewarded for that, we're really delaying our own personal gratification. And over time, what can happen is that we lose connection with the things that we want. It's still there. It's just in some ways been, you know, paved over by our focus on other people's expectations. And so, you know, a lot of times I will say to my clients, you know, start noticing your bodily sensations when, you know, things happen around you, or when you do things. Like if you do something, or if you're talking about something to somebody and you get a butterflies in your stomach, or even if you feel envious, take note of that, because that's sort of like your subconscious sending you a message to say, hey, I want to do that. And we're worthy of following our own desires. You know, it doesn't necessarily mean that we can, you know, we're going to sell everything we own and, you know, go to an ashram in India or anything like that, right? But we can start to explore how we can satisfy some of those deep desires that we have. And I think that the more that we do that, we'll find that, you know, we get sort of internally excited, and we find that we have a little more energy for other things because we're, you know, being the person that we're probably meant to be.
So in your experience, how important is to find our life purpose, and how can having a life purpose change our professional lives?
I think it's important. I think it's about being authentic, but I also think that, you know, when we talk about quote unquote life purpose, I don't necessarily know that there's a label for it. And I don't know that we discover it when we're, you know, 16 years old and it's like, okay, when I was 16, I wanted to be a nurse. And so this is what I've done for my whole life. I think that it can evolve. Personally, I feel like our life's purpose is to be as authentic a person as we're capable of being. You know, I really think that we were all sent here to Earth to for a reason. And part of our purpose for being here is figuring out what that reason is. And it typically evolves, I think, over people's lives. You know, things that are important for us to do and to be when we're 25 is going to be very different when we're 50 or 75. But I think it's all about continuing to check in with ourselves and saying, like, I mean, I'll just say, like, I was a marketer for a long time and I loved it. But it got to a point where it wasn't the right fit for me anymore. You know, so it was like I was in a different season of my career. And, you know, I'm not sure that that was my life's purpose, but I was satisfied doing it. And, you know, sometimes I think we just need to experience some things, and then that gives us the feedback that we need to keep finding our path forward in life.
So I think many people are often scared to ask for guidance, and mm-hmm. And it's easy just to, you know, think in our mind, keep ourselves for ourselves essentially, and maybe wondering, but reaching out is actually something that may sound difficult. Mm-hmm. What difference can make having someone to guide us in the right direction?
Well, I mean, I will tell you that a lot of times when I'm working with people, especially people that want to make a career pivot, but they know that what they've been doing isn't what they want to continue doing, but maybe they're just like looking out on the horizon. They're like, I'm not sure what direction I want to go in. Like they might have a few ideas, but they don't know what's actually, I'm working with somebody right now who has a career in, who had a career in marketing, and he wants to do something different and is considering becoming a financial advisor. And I think that it's really helpful to find people that have either made that transition or are doing the thing that you want to do now, and just to approach them and say, I'm considering the next chapter in my career, and I admire what you're doing. I think it's really interesting, and I'd like to learn more about it. Most people are very flattered that you want to know more about them and what they do. And I know I've seen this especially in young people that they're like, oh, I'm 25. Why does this 50-year-old person want to talk to me? And why would they want to talk to me? And I said, it's all about paying it forward because somebody helped them when they were 25. So they're willing to help you. And I think for especially for more experienced people, I think a lot of times what gives their life and career experience purpose is that they can share it with somebody else so somebody else can have maybe an easier time, on their journey. So I think that if people can realize that it's not necessarily a burden to ask for help. It actually can be a gift to the person that you're asking, for the help from. It gives them purpose.
Yeah. So, what was your dream job when you were a child?
Okay, when I was very young, I wanted to be either a ballerina or an artist. But when I got a little bit older, I used to watch the TV show called Bewitched in the US, and it was about like a witch that was married to actually the guy worked in an advertising agency. And I wanted to work in advertising. That was what I wanted to do when I was, maybe like 10 or something. And then that's what I wanted to do until I got out of college. And then when I got out of college, it was hard to find a job in advertising. So I actually got a job in a magazine publisher. So I got to work with advertising agencies, but I wasn't working in the advertising agency. And then that eventually led me into marketing. So, it was sort of in the same area. I was just on the client side rather than on the agency side of marketing and advertising.
So in some ways you realize then your childhood dream.
I think so. I think so. But I think that one of the things that I've realized too is that when you see something from afar, I was attracted to advertising because it's in business, but it's creative. But when I got a closer look at advertising, and actually I coach a lot of people that work in ad agencies now, it's a tough job. I mean, it can be fun, but it's like super fast paced, and they typically work really long hours. And in some ways, I'm kind of glad that I didn't fulfill that dream. It was a little easier being on the client side. I'm married and I've got three kids too, and so it allowed me to have more balance in my life, I think, than if I had worked at an ad agency.
Yeah. So let's go back to career change and some tips for our listeners and followers. What type of advice would you give to anyone along their path to self-realization while they're still searching?
I would say to, do a lot of exploration. I mean, first of all, pay attention to the thing that you want, and don't, a lot of times what I'll see with people is that if they're aware of the thing that they want, sometimes they'll tell themselves like, oh, I can't have that because I'm too old, or I can't make that career switch because I already make too much money, or they'll sort of almost like smother their dream before their dream has had a chance to blossom at all. And I always tell people, like, separate these two things. Like, if you have a dream or goal of what you want, just let it exist. And maybe we don't know how it's going to happen, right? But separately, start thinking, how could it happen? Who has the information that could help me figure out how to make this happen? You know, a lot of times, I mean, maybe a bit like my, you know, desire to work in advertising, that was my dream. And I followed that. I found that I didn't get that dream, but I got something else that satisfied me. And so if we start walking on the path towards the thing that we want, we might find something that's even a better fit along the way, but we've got to take action.
And what advice would you give to someone looking to change their career?
Well, I would say start thinking about what it is that that you'd like to do, you know, and also think about, this is something that I've seen a lot, is that when somebody is unhappy in their job, a lot of times they'll say, I want to do something different and I almost don't care what it is, because they're trying to get away from something that's uncomfortable. And I think that that's a natural response if you're in an uncomfortable situation, but it's very important to make sure that you understand what you're moving towards, right? Because sometimes I've seen it a lot where people, like, they don't like their boss, or, you know, they're working at a place that's not managed well, or they didn't get a raise and they're unhappy. So they just take the first job that comes along, and sometimes they go from bad to worse, you know, because they're running away from something instead of running towards something. So really make sure that you give a lot of thought to the thing that you're running towards. So that's a big piece of advice that I give.
Yeah, definitely. So it's been lovely talking to you, and I think our listeners have a lot to think about now. So we're approaching the last question, and we want to know, if you could give yourself a piece of advice, what would you say to your younger self?
Oh, well, first of all, I'd say, you know, thank you for being brave and going after things that you wanted. And I also would say, you know what, you didn't need to worry so much about whether you were good enough, because you were good enough. Because I worried a lot about stuff, and I put more pressure on myself than I think I needed to. And I think that actually had probably an effect on me that was the opposite of what I really wanted it to. It drained my energy when I could have used my energy for other things.
Well, thank you, Terry, so much for joining us today and sharing your inspirational career change story and wisdom with our listeners.
Elisa, thanks for having me. It was great to be here.
And the last message for our listeners, don't forget to subscribe to our channel and tune in next week for a new inspirational episode of The Career Changers. Thank you.
Thank you.